Good morning, good Chodesh, good life, good riddance. No, that's the wrong. It's great to be back. Hodul Hashem. Nice summer break. All I've done was work, which is very healthy for some of us. I don't know about you. Ayashikoach to Zmira for being Zmira, which is everything Zmira does. As I say that, the source sheets are a little bit interesting. We'll just have to figure them out. This is why I went to college. Okay. Yashikoach to David Hachheiser for doing the technical aspects, to Chana and to the Ricky and to the entire OU staff. B'chasdei Hashem, this is my ninth year. We're starting together, which is a Hodul Hashem. It's been special. It's been great. And I'm just going to say a technical announcement, and then we're going to begin. And that is the shiur that I gave online for Elul. I'm doing next week instead of my Parsha shiur. So if any of you follow me online, don't listen and come next week live. And then you can listen to the Kitetze shiur online. I'd rather do the Elul shiur. I know that didn't make any sense to anybody. Here we go. I'm starting. Oh, some of you never met me before and you're thinking like, gosh, is she a scatterbrain? No, I am not. I am very focused. Every other week, this is not the week. Here we go. Anila Dodi Vidodi Li, the acronym for Elul, probably the most classic one. I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. I'd like to learn together and develop together Mirza Shema Tzvasemes on this. This is a very often quoted Tzvasemes, and it encapsulates Elul. Source number two. He quotes his father, Al Chodesh Elul, or really his grandfather, Shehem Lo Velo Anachnu Kri Uchsiv B'Mizmor Latoda. The essence of Elul is found in the Kri Uchsiv, the way it is written and the way it is read, the word lo in Mizmor Latoda. What is he referring to? Let's take a look, source number three. Mizmor Latoda is chapter 100. We thank Hashem, Mizmor Latoda, Hariu Hashem Kol Haaretz, cry out to Hashem, everyone on earth, Ivdu et Hashem B'Simcha, serve Hashem with joy, Bo Lefana Birnana, come before him with joyous song. Here's the key. Do know, ki Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem is God. Hu asanu, he made us. And then you see the word that is circled. Velo anachnu amo v'tso marito. Velo, we have throughout Tanakh, and it's an interesting study in its own right, something called a kri uchsiv, which means it's written one way and read another way. Usually they're two different words. Here, it is two different words. They sound the same. It's written, velo anachnu. We are not his. Velo anachnu, we are not. We read it with a vav. What's in the column, velo anachnu, and we are his. Now that's two different understandings. We are nothing and we are his. Which one is it? The answer is, thank you, you're all Jewish, you passed the test. The answer is both. Says the Tzvasemes the following. Upei Rosh HaDavar, I'm back in source number two. Hakol Echad, it's really one. Which means, ma shelo anachnu, kein lo anachnu. To the extent that we are not, to that extent, we are his. To the extent you're able to live lo anachnu with an aleph, what we're going to call bittul, to humble yourself, to that extent, you're able to reach lo anachnu with a vav, of connection to Hashem. Why? Ki begasos ein aniva hu yecholim lador. In a place of haughtiness, God says, you and I can't live together. Like, you have to choose. Like, you're taking up too much space. Elul, my friends, is about a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And as Mira said so eloquently, our relationships in our lives really mirror the relationships with Hashem. Two aspects. One is humility. One is the low, to then reach a level of the low with the vav, a relationship. And those are the two that I'd like to speak about today. You know, there's a story told of a young married person about to get married. He went to his rabbi and said, okay, I'm ready to hear. What's the secret of marriage? He says it's three things. To be mevater. Mevater means to give in. The second is be mevater, give in. And the third is be mevater. And if you're able to remember those three things, be mevater, be mevater, be mevater, then you'll have a happy marriage. What does this mean? What is it? Giving in. I have to give in every time. She wants the window open. I want the window closed. She wants this. I have to give in. You know, let's understand this. Let's understand what this is about. And let's understand it not only in relationship with others, but a relationship with Hashem. And everything, my friend, begins at the beginning, which is Adam HaRishon. Let's learn a little bit, Rabbi Tatz, World Mask, and we'll get a sense into this human dynamics. As we have begun to see, the ordeal was one of ego, of eating of the tree, of the desire for freedom and independence. Adam was torn between obedience and what seemed like freedom. Obedience meant performing the Creator's will, and in so doing, bonding with him, but also seemed to require a yielding of human dependence, right? I have to listen to God, which means I can't do what I want to do. I have to do what Hashem wants me to do. And this is the deepest battle. If this was the primary ordeal, it must be the source of all spiritual ordeal. It must hold the key to all human growth. And he develops this. He says in 6, Adam was commanded not to eat of the fruit of the tree. Obedience to that command was all that was required. But Adam felt that such an arrangement lacked a significant amount of part for him. What would his contribution be? It's like a no-brainer. Tell me not to eat. Okay, I won't eat. But there's no me in that. There's no struggle in that. There's no me having to fight. Adam reasoned in 7 that if he were to eat that fruit, and bring himself, 6, 7 is under 6, which is the bottom left of the first page, which is hard to find, I know, and bring himself in the world down from the rarefied and almost perfect spirituality into heavy physicality with all the temptations and then hold strong, that would be his greatness. And this is the point to understand in 8. In every action of human free choice, the asterisk, which is in contradiction to divine command, there's a powerful illusion of independence. No one tells me what to do. And that is very strong. This is us. This is Adam, and we're all from Adam, so we all have this in us. I don't just want to be told what to do. I want to have a sense of what? Of self, of me in every equation. Because why did God create me with free will? Obviously, he created me with free will. He created me with desire. He created me to be a leader, the chule. He created it for a reason. So just to be passive, to listen to God, can't be the full use of the way Hashem has created me. And that was confusing. Good luck finding source 9. He was certain that he had been created to express his freedom, not suppress it. Obedience to one simple command was surely not a full expression of his freedom to choose. Surely Hashem meant something else in his command. Perhaps he means that eating will be so dangerous he does not require me to do it. Perhaps his command is in effect only a warning. I'm ready to take on all of life and death to show who I am in reality. And this is the struggle. And here is the paradox. This is my favorite line. It's like a refrigerator magnet. While man asserts his independence, he is nothing, merely a small bundle of protoplasm asserting the scope of his smallness, asterisk in 10. But when he annuls his independence, negates his ego, he melts into the reality of a greater existence and thereby achieves real existence. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Anav Mikol Adam. He was the most humble. He was the one who knew how to efface himself to the greatest degree. And at the same time, he became what? One of the greatest men on earth. Sometimes we feel like if I give in, I will. Exactly. Lose myself. Very good. I'll disappear. I'll lose myself. Fakir. The exact opposite. Not only do you not lose yourself, that is really how you become self. And this is what we are about. To take our will and make it his will. That there's one and the same. And this is the first part of Lo Anachnu, humility. This is the challenge. This is the introspection that we have in Elul. We'll see, it's two sides. The first side is Lo Anachnu with an Aleph, of looking at myself and asking myself, do I create this sense of ego, of war between me and God? Well, let me rephrase that. How much of my life do I create this ego, this war? I'll make a simple example. Let's take something very easy. Somebody calls me up and says, Shira, I have to tell you this piece of news. Now, the way she tells it to me, I know it's going to be what? But it's going to be worth listening to. You know, No, really. There are levels of Lashon Hara. There's some like, what a waste for an Aveira. And there's some that are what? That was really, you know. So I quickly do an accounting in my head. I usually shouldn't hear this. I know I shouldn't hear this, but what? This is too good to what? Pass up. Right now, I have entered into the scope of Adam Harishon. God says, don't listen. I say, ego, I. How can I not listen? Who's going to win, God or me? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is, hey, we're all human. Welcome to the club. That is what Chodesh Elul is about. Introspecting and seeing how difficult it is for me to achieve that Lo Anachnu, that humility. You know, it's interesting. Rabbi Kirzner points out in source number 4, a very famous idea of Rav Kirzner, that when we say modim, which is giving thanks to God, the word modim also means to admit or to acknowledge. It's the same root of vidui, lahodot. Rav Huttner said that every expression of thanks that one person gives to another is really a form of admitting. It's fascinating that when we say modim, which is to give thanks to God, and at this time admit that I'm totally in his hands, what do? I bow. Very good. 15 in the arrow, when we bow, we show that we subjugate, bottom left, our will to God and acknowledge his will as being supreme. We demonstrate that Hashem has ultimate wisdom and goodness, and it's the ultimate director of our lives. Every time we bow, we break our resistance to allowing ourselves to be dominated by God's will. And that's something fascinating to think about during Elul. It's like to flag in our siddur, modim, bowing. I have to recognize, not only am I giving thanks to God, it's an acknowledgement that my whole life is in his hands. He is the supreme ruler. And I need to know my place in this relationship. And this is the idea, I bow, which is Kabbalistically in 16, breaking the shells, the klipos, all that which stands between me and God, what we'd call those independent energy. And then after I bow, I'm able to what? To stand up straight and have this relationship with Hashem of the Lo Anachnu, which we're not up to yet, with the Vav. This idea very much is the idea of what Rosh Hashanah is about. Notzur Yecheska Rav Chaska Levenstein in 17, second paragraph. The Chazal tell us in the Gemara Shoshana that Tzaricha Adam Lamo Lifnei Kono Ka'ani Bapetach. Our mindset in Rosh Hashanah has to be like a poor man at a door. Tachnunim Yidaber Rash, imploring. Kokama Dekayif Inish Tvei Ma'ale. To the extent that you bend yourself over, the better you are on Rosh Hashanah. And that is why the Gemara tells us you shouldn't have a straight shofar, you should have a bent shofar. Because the shofar reminds us of the stance we need to have, not only physically, but more so emotionally, psychologically, when I come into Hashem. You know, I think in my mind, one of the best ways, it's a little bit strong, but I don't care. I do care, but I'm going to say it anyway. In 19, the Tiv HaMoadim, Rav Gamliel, where he says the following. There's a mindset, I'm going to do it outside, you can see it inside in 19. There's a mindset that some people have. And that is, look, I've been through, and you could fill in the blank, not too many 40s here, some 50s. Well, we have some younger here. 60s, 70s, 80s, you fill them out, of years that I have been on Rosh Hashanah. And you know what? I'm still here. You know, like, don't give me this business of, you know, Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment. Okay, so some years are more intense than others. I mean, look around us. We haven't gotten over COVID yet. Yeah, as my sister said, it was called COVID-19, and we're up to year 2022. I mean, let's get a grip here. Yeah, so we look at, listen closely, we look at Rosh Hashanah. Why do I need an Elul? Why do I need a Rosh Hashanah? I need it because I want to have a good year. So, okay, I'm going to work. I'm becoming a better and nicer person. But really, the whole reason I'm working on myself and Elul, whatever I take on, whatever I do, is really for one purpose, because God is in control. And I need certain things, God. You know, I need, fill in the blank, whatever you need, right? Health, shiduchim, children, fill in the blank, whatever you need. And God, you're the ticket, so I'm going to be good in order for you to give me a good year. Listen closely now, my friends, here's the key. All of this mindset has nothing to do with God. It only has to do with me, exactly. I need, I want, you're the one who gives me, so give to me. And if I have to bend into a pretzel for a month to be on good behavior in order to get, so be it. But it's not really about any type of humility. It's not really anything about God. It's really all about what? Me. And he says, that's the mindset of a child. That's how a child looks at this time period. Our mindset is to understand, 20. Nakdim ki al adam hachafetz lashuv el baro, levarer hadek heitev beino levein atzmo, mahut kavanato matarato. Asher lishma ino shav v'tshuva. We have to be clear what our intentions. Ha'im shifato heina l'shem hitkarvut libaro? Is it to have a relationship with Hashem? O shema chashka nafsho b'milui tzrachav agashmim greda? Or your whole focus is just, what are you getting out of it? U'l'shem kach mekayem mitzvat ha'tshuva? And therefore you go through the motions of tshuva, b'chdei shipakeid mishmaya, b'chaye sova v'shalom, so that you could have a good year. This, my friends, is really the question we have to ask ourselves first and foremost. Ani ledodi, the word ani has the same letters as ayin. Ayin means what? Nothingness. Ayin, nothing. The first thing in a relationship is to be able to ask myself, what is the relationship about? Is it all about me? Am I the focus of the relationship? And if it is all about me, going back to that story of Levater, 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 so I get the window the way I want it, and I buy the curtains the way I want it, and I eat what I want, and everything's about what I want. Why are you here, spouse? You're here just to make me, fill in the word, happy. Bingo. Any of you want to guess what type of relationship this is going to be? Good, you've gotten it. How do you expect that relationship with God? Because it's not a relationship. It's totally egocentric. And that is not what Ani L'Doti V'Doti Li is about. First and foremost, we have to gain perspective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the center of the world. I need to learn bittul. I need to learn humility. Let me just repeat the question for those who may be in La La Land. Would you say that all the requests that we make on Rosh Hashanah, I want to have children, I want to have money, I want to have whatever I want to have, is a lower level request and not what we should be asking for? Absolutely not. It's important to ask those requests. However, we have to understand perspective. So let me just, 1 second. This clock is right? Okay, great. So let me just share, because Brenda's question is an important question. Let me share with you that some of you have heard this from me before, a very important mashal. If you just walk away with this today, I say Dayenu. We're almost at Pesach. I move quickly, remember? And it fits into the rubric of what we're speaking about today. It's a mashal of Rav Matzisyahu Salomon Shlita. Here's the mashal in Matnat Chaim Oadim. He says, there was once, this is a parable. There was once an orphan who was living on the streets and no one was there to take care of him. And a family saw this and they said, we're going to come and adopt you. And they raised this child and they cared for this child and they educated this child. And they married off this child and they did everything that they would do for their own children. When this child grew up, he felt so indebted to his adopted family. And the family owned a construction business. He says, you know what? I want to build for you a gorgeous house because I owe you so much. This is the least I could do. So his father said, that's amazing. I really appreciate it. That's great. And he, you know, explained to him the design of the house and how he wanted it. And his adopted father said, you know, anything that you will need in order to build this house, you need the cement, you need the glass. Go into my factory, just hand them a requisition, and it's on the house. And over the course of the year, whatever he needed, he would go in and say, I need some bricks, and they would give him bricks. And to build this house. Says Rav Matzisyahu, this is a reflection of us. It's very interesting that on Rosh Hashanah, which is the day that's being decided, our children, our livelihood, our health, we don't have the davening that I would have expected. I would have expected like my Shmona Esrei during the week. Rifa'enu Hashem, heal us. Baruch Aleinu, give us money. Give me wisdom. I'm into that bracha. Man, I need a lot of that, right? So we would have expected that. And on Rosh Hashanah, guess what? You are going to be hard-pressed to find anywhere where we ask for requests. Yeah, we slip them in. Zachveinu l'chaim, katveinu b'sefer achaim. Where we ask for requests is a different story. But what's Rosh Hashanah davening? Look at it. Meloch al kol olam kulo b'chvodecha. Hashem, rule over the world. Hashem melech, Hashem malach. Hello. I need kids. I need grandchildren. I need. And the answer is the following. On Rosh Hashanah, we lay down for ourselves what is our focus. Our focus is to build a house for God. On Rosh Hashanah, I reorient myself why I'm here in this world. I'm not here just to play with grandchildren. That's nice. I'm here to create godliness in this world. I'm here to bring God's presence down in this world. Rosh Hashanah, I tell God my vision of the palace. And Rosh Hashanah, I say to Hashem, I realize I'm not here for me as much as I'm here to make you the focus of my life. Rule over the whole world, and in particular over me. I'm a little world. And I want to make you a palace. Hashem then says, you're interested in building a palace for me during the year. Anything you need, just ask for it. You need health in order to what? Serve Hashem, to build a palace. So when I ask for these things, it's within the context of what? Of building the palace. It's not for me alone. It's for me as a servant of God. And that's where Bittul comes. Yeah, Rivki. So let me just repeat that. So Rivki's saying is that when she was divorced and single for 11 years, she reframed her tefillah of Hashem, I can best serve you, in her humble opinion, to be remarried and have more children, Baruch Hashem, she is, in order to be able to serve you. And it gives us a context and a structure. For sure. For sure. For sure. Right. That's Chana, who dedicated that child completely to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Great. Great. Rabbosai, I got to move on because the hour is moving on me faster than I can want to be moved. This, my friends, says the Tal Chaim of Shmuel Tal in 23. Alpizen, the asterisk of Sharlavin Shadam Shirotzeli Tchaber al Ashchina. If you want to connect to Hashem, first, Sarich Lichvof et Atzmo. First, you have to humble yourself. First, you have to know where your place is in this world. Don't make you the center of this world. Make serving Hashem the center. And he says, by humbling yourself, not only are you not losing yourself, you're gaining tremendously. You become the servant of God that God invests in. And he likens this to, in 24, he likens this to the shofar. And he says, every time we sin, what we are doing is creating. In the arrow 24, Kasher Adam Chotel Yotzer Masach Mavil Beino Leben Hashem Yifarach, he creates a wall between him and Hashem. Our job has to be to break down that wall to be able to come close to Hashem. One of the psukim that we say before Tkiyah Shofar in the bracket in 25 is Min Hametzar Karatika. Anani b'merchavka, min hametzar, from the narrow straits, from the point of constraint, I call out from you. From that point of humility where I recognize it's not all about me. From the point of humility, recognizing that I am so small in the scheme of God's world. From that small place, min hametzar, when I call out to you, anani b'merchavka, God responds by then making me so much greater. When you recognize your place, when you recognize who and what you are, not only don't you lose yourself, but Hashem then invests in you. And that's what the shofar looks like. It's small in the mouthpiece and then gets wider. That's the imagery of what we are going through in Elul. The lo anachnu has us with the mouthpiece, min hametzar, with an aleph. First and foremost in Elul, I have to know my place. And I have to ask myself, is it my will or God's will? And I have to be able to humble myself and say, as much as I want to hear that Lashon Hara, as much as I want to eat this food, as much as I want to fill in the blank, the choices are numerous, as much as I want to, min hametzar, from that narrow place, I've learned to humble myself. I've learned to recognize, lo anachnu, it's not about me. And when I'm able to do that, when I'm able to put myself in the correct perspective, then I am ready to move. It really goes simultaneously to lo anachnu with avav, to now have that close relationship with Hashem. If I'm going to walk in, you know, like this, there's no room for God. If I'm walking in bowing, saying, Hashem, you are all powerful and all I want to do is serve you, help me do that, Hashem will then what? Raise us up. You know, it almost, the imagery that comes to my mind is when they knight a knight. So the knight kneels before the queen. Do you, any of you know what I'm talking about? And then they are able to what? Rise up and serve. Yes, ma'am. It's a Hasidic maimer. Yes. You are afar ve'efer, you're nothing. And the other is bishvili nivra olam, for me the world's created, exactly. Right, that's the lo and lo anachdu. But you first have to know who you are. We can't walk into Rosh Hashanah and say, God, look, you know what I've done this year? I mean, you know, like cash in. Elul, humble yourself. Know your place. Now I want to talk about the lo anachnu with the vav, which is also needs attention. What does it mean to have a relationship with God? Okay, so now that I've learned vitur, and I say, you want the window open? Great. You want, and you know what happens. Every time you say, whatever you want, your spouse will then say what? Whatever you want, right? If you're just into you, then they're going to what? They're going to be up with, you want everything. I had nothing. If you're ready to give in and say, sure, whatever you want, they'll say, no, whatever you want. And then, you know, it's like two people trying to walk through a doorway and you're just standing there for the rest of your life. Yeah. What is lo anachdu with the vavis? It's having a relationship with Hashem. What is the relationship with Hashem about? So I think one of the greatest understandings of what this is about is found in a malbim that's tucked away in Haggai Perek Beis. Most people don't even know Haggai exists. Forget about the malbim and Haggai Perek Beis, but I want to share it with you. And the Malbim talks about, the Haggai is very much about Simu levavchem al darchechem, put your heart on your ways, wake up and smell the coffee. That's what Haggai is about. And Haggai is the call to build the second base of Mikdash. Haggai is Zechariah Malachi, or that Tkufa, that period. And Haggai basically says, look around you. You see that there's all of these diseases in the field. And that's God's way of telling you, build the base of Mikdash. Hashem's not going to provide for you until you provide for him. And one of the phrases is, "Ve'ein maseh yadechem ve'ein etchem elai." You have the work of your hands, but you are not with me. And notes the Malbim the following: Ritzono lomar, in the middle of source 28, "Sheasitem maaseh below kavana." You know what your problem is, Jewish people? At the time of Haggai, and my friends, it's universal. Haggai is the time of the second base, beginning of the second base of Mikdash. He told them to build it. Haggai is Zechariah Malachi. Sha'asitem ma'aseh b'lo kavana. You were involved in actions without intent. Guf b'lo neshama, a body without a soul. Mikdash avanim below levavot. You're building for me a physical edifice, but without a heart. That's what's missing. You're going through the motions, but what I want from you is you. Lo anachnu is not just doing God's will. It's like a wife who makes dinner, who does the laundry, who, whatever a woman's supposed to do. I'm not getting sexist here. What a man's job is, woman's job, that's your problem. But whatever the roles are, you fill in the blanks. Today it's all about filling in the blanks. But she has no relationship with her husband. Here's dinner. Here. Your clothes are over there. What type of relationship is that? Okay, God, I said a bracha. Aren't you happy? But there's no relationship. The truth of the matter is, if we're honest with ourselves, and we've discussed this many a time, so many of us are on such automatic pilot in our avodas Hashem that we don't even realize what we're doing. Rav Wolbe, I've said this, and I'm so happy when I saw that somebody great said this, that you can daven a whole davening and not once think of Hashem. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And we all know this. We've benched, and benching turns a page somewhere. And I say to myself, did I bench? Hello? That wasn't burn official. So that I could hear. Benching. Where were you? Highway hypnosis. We all know it. And any of you drive, like I drive home, I have no recollection sometimes how I got home. And then I just pull in my parking spot, and I'm like, oh, I'm here. Gee, how did I get here? I'm at Elenu. Did I fish 103 today? Lo anachnu is with the vav, it's relationship. One of my favorite stories is in 29, I quote here, where you've heard from me before, where Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal's father had a tekiyas kaf. He had a deal with a friend of his who was also a great tzaddik that whoever should go to the Olam HaEmes, the world of truth first, should tell the other what it's like up there. Rav Moshe Feinstein's father died first, and they allowed him to come down to tell Rav Moshe's father what it was like. And the friend said the following. He says, everything is weighed up there. There's no vitor. Everything is weighed. And he says the following. He says, when they asked me, how did I do on the lotus, says, I passed with flying colors. I was careful not to transgress the Torah. When they asked me about the asay toh, how I did with, you know, doing mitzvos, I passed with flying colors. He was a tzaddik. Here goes, Aval Iker Hadin Lamala, around 10 lines in the bottom. But the major judgment upstairs, he al Rachmana Liba Ba'e, Hashem, Rachmana Liba, our hearts, Ba'e, he wants. And this is very hard. We can be doing all the mitzvos. We can be careful with all the halachas of Shabbos. Ki chaser hapnimios, chaser harachmana, the end of 29, but you're missing the inner world. You're missing Hashem. Chaser Hashem yitbarach ba'maisim ki zehu ikar hayados. That's the essence of Judaism, a relationship with Hashem, lichyot im HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to live with God. Rav Pinkus, whose whole theme song is this? This is what Yeshaya HaNavi, source 30, would say. That the Yiras Elokim, the fear of God, was mitzvahs anashim ulumada. It was by rote, by habit. Our perception of Hashem, of the Siddur and the Chumash, is that of a five-year-old child. It's serving Hashem of a distance. We have to realize this. Like, take a look at benching. Do you ever realize in the Brach of Atova Meitiv, we're asking for no less than 15 things? Kindness, mercy, relief, rescue, success. You can read English. My gosh, I never even thought about this. Do we notice all these requests? If not, because we got into the habit of reciting benching while we're still in preschool. This is what we do in Elul. Do away with the rope. Stop doing things just out of habit. Awaken our love when we serve Hashem, similar to the love of a bride and a groom. To get the feeling of newness, to practice Avodas Hashem as this was the first time we approach the Siddur, to be moved by every halacha, every bracha, and every spiritual feeling. Wow, that's lo anachnu. That's the relationship. That's what we have to look for in our relationship with Hashem. There's a lo anachnu with an aleph, and there's a lo anachnu with a vav. And as, I'm not going to do it inside 31 to 33, Rav Dessler talks about, the truth of the matter is, the reward that we're going to get, and obviously we get reward for everything, is only in the things that we've struggled with, not that's rote behavior. For me, not to turn a light on Shabbos is not, it's not going to go in my bank account. Whose bank account does it go on? My parents. If there was something that I wasn't raised with and I struggle with, then I what? Then I get the credit for it. You know, it reminds me, and she told me not to talk about her. So I'm not mentioning her name. My daughter met with a shadchan yesterday. And it was a horrible meeting on every level. And one of the things that I found so fascinating, I wasn't present, I was in the car waiting. This shadchan said to her, you live in a box, you're not ready to move out of your comfort zone, how do you expect to get married? And my daughter said to me afterwards, she said, this lady has no idea of how much I have changed from my family and how much I have moved out of my comfort zone to be who I am. And she's right. The lady didn't know her. And she said, you know, this is what you saw and this is what you want. No, no, no. She has become her own what? She's become her own person. And that is the call that we all have to do, is to take what we were raised with and then what? Make it our own. Make it our flavor, our spice, right? And it's not just a replica of, and again, Kenaner, she's only 19, but, you know, as she grows, she's, Emirat Hashem, going to continue to. And that's what we all have to do, not only at 19, but at 29, 39, 49, 59, 69. We went through the ages here, I'm ready. That's our challenge. Elul is about finding that love, finding that connection. And every year we're different. Our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is different. And that's what we have to realize. But we have to look for it in love. You know, there was a Maisa that I just read recently, so I know you haven't heard this. For me, Rav Dov Yafet Zatzal, who's a great mashgiach in Israel, died a few years ago. His son-in-law was sitting in a Beis Medrash davening, saying Pesukei de Zimra on Shabbos. And it was like adjacent to the main minyan. He was, you know, wanted to say it slowly. So he was sitting there singing the Pesukei de Zimra. And as he's sitting there saying the Pesukei de Zimra, he noticed his two boys, around 6, 7 years old in that range, 8 years old, who pulled down from the Beis Medrash two big gemaras. And they were sitting across from each other, like pretending to learn. Are you watching the scenario? Boy number one opens the gemara and like this. Usser, 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 usser. Right? It's forbidden, it's forbidden, it's forbidden. The next boy turns back to him and says, usser, 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 usser. Right? And they go back and forth, usser, usser. And this is how they're having this, quote unquote, learning session. So at lunch, the son-in-law repeats this over to his father-in-law. His father-in-law gets very agitated and he jumps up and he says, tell me right now who these kids are. I want to speak to the father. And his wife is like, you know, can wait till after lunch. You know, let's eat, let's calm down a little bit. And right after lunch, he listened to his wife. Yeah. Right after lunch, He went to the father and he said, this is not healthy. When kids play, right? Kids play is Judaism can't be usser, usser, usser. Everything is no good. You have to teach them the what? The beauty of Yiddishkeit. Otherwise, they're not going to stay on the path. And the father poo-pooed him and said, they're just kids playing. The PS of the story is that these kids did not stay from. The lo anachnu has to be ani ledodi vedodi li, has to be love, has to be relationship, has to be closeness, has to feel this love with Hashem. So now, my friends, let's just summarize what we've tried to see till now, and now let's try to bring it down to the world of the practical. Ani ledodi vedodi li is found, says the Sfasemes, in the Mizmor LaTodah. Lo velo anachnu amovet somarito. Lo is written with an aleph, it's read with the vav. These are the two aspects of relationship with Hashem. First you have to have lo anachnu, first you have to have bittul. First you have to have humbling yourself. First you have to realize that you are nothing. You have to know how to bow in modim. You have to realize that Hashem grants you everything that you have. When you have a vision of building that palace, then you know who you are. You're not walking in with your hands on your hips, God, give me, give me, give me. When I've understood this place of self, when I've understood the min hametzar, the depth, the ability to be mevater, the lo anachnu, I can then move to a relationship with Hashem. The bittul, I don't lose, I become even greater. Anani b'merchavka, it's the expanse, the opening of the shofar, the ben shofar allows me to stand up straight. And that is to have a relationship with Hashem. We have to be careful that we do not fall into the trap that the Malbim spoke about, that we are a guf below neshama, a body without a soul, that we work on automatic pilot. If God wanted robots, he would have created them. He created us with the uniqueness of us for us to bring into this relationship. And that's what Hashem wants. Rachmana libabai. Hashem wants my heart. He wants my uniqueness. He wants me in my personal flavor in this relationship. Okay, my friends. So now practically, what should a person work on in the month of Elul to be successful on this? And the real answer is, and we'll talk about this next week in Mirtz Hashem, which will be like Elul part two. It doesn't matter. Whatever you do is good. Good. Having said that, I would like to suggest a few ideas. Idea number one is a global idea, and idea number two and three are more specific. Global idea number one is 34, and that is a person should work on the foundation of what Yiddishkeit is about, and that is hitchazkut be'emunah. Work on your relationship with Hashem. L'chazek et emunato b'Hashem yitbarach. Make Hashem as real as possible in your life. If Hashem isn't real, then everything you're going through is just cosmetic. And the imagery that he gives, and some of us, if you've ever had retivut in your apartment, retivut is dampness, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You suddenly notice that there is like a little bit of a crack in your wall. I can show you. I have one in my house right now. I can bring it up picture. Yeah. You have a crack in your wall. So you say, no problem. You bring in a handyman. He takes some, you know what it is. And he scrapes it. And he covers it up. And then if you want to be fancy, you paint it over. And it looks great. Next rainy season, guess what happens? Okay, you bring them back. And this goes on for years. What you're not doing is dealing with what? The source, exactly. Every time we say, okay, I'm going to work on Lashon Hara. Okay, I'm working on many things, but if there's no foundation of connection and love, it's not going to last. First and foremost, where are we in our relationship with Hashem? And that work is really where the work has to be. And I'd like to share in a practical way, what does that mean to work on a relationship with Hashem? One aspect is brachos, saying brachos. Every time I say a bracha, What I am doing is what? I'm acknowledging Hashem is here. Throughout my day, 100 brachos is 100 times of feeling Hashem's presence. And I want to add in 45, and in my humble opinion, this is one of the most powerful halachas you will find in all of Shulchan Aruch, 45. You're not allowed to multitask, to do anything when you're saying a bracha. Because then your focus is not on saying the bracha, and it's as if, oh, by the way, I'm saying a bracha as well. V'afilu tashmish kal asur lasot, even something small. Work with me, my friends, if you can walk away with this. I'm telling you, and we've spoken about this many times, if you've been with me over the years, this is really important. You ever have a bottle of water and you're thirsty? It's hot. I don't know about here, Beit Shemesh is a house of sun. So you're hot. So you turn the water bottle to open it. Any of you with me here right now? I'm turning the water bottle. And as I'm turning the water bottle, I'm saying a bracha. No. My focus isn't on God. My focus is really on what? On the opening that water bottle. Why isn't it opening? Did they make it these ways, these days? Like, or it's your arthritis, you know, whatever it is. Anila dodi vidodi li. You know, I've said this so many times. You ever have people today having a conversation with you and they're texting at the same time? I have a family member, and this one is not an immediate family member, so I'm also going to be very vague. Every time I'm on the phone with her, she's on her machine. How do I know this? Hello? Yeah. Do you know there's a sale on chickens? I'm talking to you. What are you doing on what? On the phone at the same time. To have a relationship with somebody means you want them to actually, I'm looking for a word here, to be, give me the word, present. That's exactly it, to be present. Right? And as I've said many times, Asher Yatzar is not tefillah sederach. You don't walk through your house. When I have to stop, and I am a person who likes not, who doesn't stop so easily. So I really appreciate this halacha. I say, why am I stopping? I never stop. I'm always on the go. Why? Because I'm having a relationship with somebody. I'm talking to somebody. It's real. It's lo anachdu. This one halacha to focus in Elul is a game changer. Second, 41. How it can be mechazek your emuna. 41, emuna mi'amadvarim atzrichim chizuk tmidi. You constantly have to strengthen it. If you're not mechazek your emuna, then it's going to become weakened. How do you mechazek it? Shemesugalim chaim shamuna chushit, feeling Hashem's presence at all times. And this has two aspects to it. One, davening. Kol davar, in the bracket, at the end of 41, kol davar shincha zakuklo, it's bold, bakesha tome HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One emunah chushit is whatever you need, ask for it from God. Hashem, I need to find these blue shoes. I know they're here. Where are they? Thank you, Hashem, for helping me find the blue shoes. Always ask after you thank. The gates are open. Please help continue to help me find, or the world should find whatever they're looking for, or the person should find their shidduch, whatever else you want to add. Daven. Because when I daven, you know, it's that famous joke we all know, the person who's very late, who's looking for a parking spot, blah, 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 blah. We all know it. I'll give a lot of money to stuck up, blah, blah, blah. I really need a parking spot. God, I'm really, really late, blah, blah. And then he finds a parking spot. God, it's okay. I found one anyway. Daven. Daven for everything. Take nothing for granted. Like this morning, coming down here, I was so afraid of Zmira being late this morning. I was on, Zmira has put the fear of God in me. I got a truck on the back road. And I'm thinking, God, I got to get here on time. And he pulled over. I said, thank you, Hashem, for having this truck pull over. It's the small things in life. You're continually with Hashem. Final idea, and I'm out of here. 44. And that is, have a thank you, Hashem notebook. Every day, write down things that Hashem has done for you today that you appreciate. On top of each page, this is Rosie Weinreich, I write, thank you, Hashem, that I simply list the good things that happened to me that day. I started 5 years ago. My Baruch Hashem list has grown to an incredible 17,150 entries. Wow. So now I have 17,150 things, I don't know what pages that is, to be happy about, and it helps me to maintain a cheerful disposition. The more you look for Hashem, the more you're going to find him. And I'll tell you, my friends, if you go back to the first page, Elul Tavshinayin Dalet, I know we're not in Tavshinayin Dalet. I'm well aware of that. I'm not in a time zone here. The letters in Elul are encoded, these two words. Taking a look at the word Elul on the first page, Lamed Vav backwards is low, Lamed Aleph is low. That's the low, low Anachdu. That's what Elul is about. It's about recognizing my humbleness, my humility, in order to have the low, the relationship. Life is not usser, usser, usser. Life is about love. It's about relationship. It's about being able to be mevater. And when you are mevater, when you withdraw, you then make space for others. And when you make space for others, then the other can be able to come in. When you are ani, the ayin, le dodi, then dodi li.